Good morning, everyone. We can start today's lecture. Before I proceed further with today's topic, if you have any questions from the previous lecture, please feel free to ask. Any questions? No? So everyone has been able to understand what XML file is and how we can apply the styling to the XML file. Okay. So if I ask any one of you any questions, you would be able to answer. Right? No? Okay. Any case, if you have any questions regarding the previous lecture, feel free to ask. Okay, I'll have a very quick recap of what we had gone through in the last slides, because today we do not have so many slides, so we have plenty of time to cover it easily. So I will quickly go through the last lecture's slides, what we tried to do over there. So we had XML file, and everyone knows that the XML file has separate syntax. The XML file has to be well formed in order to make sure that it is validated against any errors that could arise due to the structuring of the document. Okay. And we saw that we have three different types of XML files. One is the data-centric file, in which we only have the data encapsulated as a separate file using the elements tag. Okay. And then we can have a narrative file. In the narrative file, we can display the constant text. We can have different types of parsed data and unparsed data displayed. We could have numeric values, we could have HTML tags, and we could have user-defined tags, all interspersed in the document that we are trying to display. Okay. And then we can have mixed file structures, which can combine the XML elements and the HTML elements. Now, when we have different kinds of user-defined data types, elements, and once we have the HTML tags, which a browser is familiar with, we need to somehow make sure that the document that we are preparing is validated. Okay. That means it is error-free, and we can parse the document without either crashing the parser or crashing the application. Okay. So we looked at that we have an XML file. It has its own syntax. And in the previous lecture, we looked how we can apply the styling to this XML file. Okay. And in the styling, we have a separate XSL file, okay, that provides us with the templates and the matching criteria. And the matching was done using the XPath expressions. Okay. And what we were trying to do, we were calling this XSL file in the XML document. So we were telling the XML document that what kind of styling we are applying to this XML file. Okay. So the very first line that you were executing in the XML document is the prologue, the file which tells us that this is the XML document. Okay. And the second line that we were executing is the path or the reference to this XSL file, which tells us that we are applying some form of styling to this XML document. If we do not have a reference to this path, we will see a tree-like structure in our browsers when we display this file. So the file will not be formatted. And what we said that we can use any of these parsers, XSLT. So we said that we have an extensible style sheet language transformation. So this transformation is a set of methods, okay, which we apply to this file, which has a reference to this file. That means that whatever we are transforming, it is taking this into context, applying it on this data document, okay, and we preview it into our web browsers, okay, and in the browser we see the output as an XHTML file. Okay, that means that we have transformed this simple structured XML file into an output format that we would like it to be. Okay, so that's in a nutshell what we went through in the previous lecture. So in your exams, you could be given this kind of a XML file. Okay, you can be provided this type of the styling, and you could be asked to produce this document. Okay, and it could be vice versa also. So you will have this file, and you will have the output that is generated from this file, and this will be the unknown variable in your exam. So you will have to reproduce this file. Okay, so if you can work around your way like this, you will be work around your way in the backward also. Okay, so just make sure that you try to practice this and try to execute some of these examples to see what kind of behavior you preview in your browsers once you apply this XSLT transformation. Okay, now we have also till today talked about the XML file from the very first lecture. Okay, and we have also seen how we can represent the XML file into a tree structure. Okay, if you remember the nutrition file, we said that we can create tree nodes. So we have nutrition, we have daily values, and we have food elements. So this is the tree representation that we generate from this XML file. Okay, and we also see that we can create another type of representation from this XML file. Okay, and that was the document object model tree, and we said that in DOM everything is represented as a node. Okay, if we have elements here, they will have a separate node. If we have attributes here, they will have a separate node. If we have text, it is considered as a separate node, unlike the traditional XML tree representation. Okay, so here in this case we have a mother node, which is the DOM node. And then we could have child nodes. And we have seen that even in this tree and in that tree, we have different representations of accessing the elements to traverse within these documents. Okay, so that's what we have covered until now. Now you can see we can have different representations of a single XML file depending upon the type of application that we are developing and what we are trying to do in that application. So you can use your XML in different ways. Now this brings us to our today's lecture, validation. So whatever we have been doing here, we need to make sure that it is structurally correct. We do not have any errors. It should be well formed, and we need to validate it. Okay, in order to make sure that whatever we have coded, it is correct. It can pass through the parsers without any errors. Okay, because otherwise, if you do not have a validated XML file, what will happen? In case of any other languages, for example HTML, okay, if it's not a major critical error, the parsers can pass it and you will see some output. It might not be what you have expected, but still you might be able to see some output. Okay, if you have made blunders in your HTML file, obviously the browser will not be able to display it. Okay, Same is the case with other languages. If you have been working in C language, Java, or any other language, your compilers will be able to tell you and precisely pinpoint you where the error exists. So it becomes much more easier for you to debug. Okay. In case of XML, okay, you have some editors that can pinpoint you where the error has occurred, but quite often, in the case of well-formed XML, you sometimes are not able to precisely see if there is a space or not, because the space could also create problems in the parsing of this XML document. Okay. So you will see the syntax and the everything looks perfect, but if you have a space or a separate gap, you will not be able to understand that. And the compiler will just be telling you that, okay, you have an error at line this, and you will not be able to debug it. That means that before you execute your XML, you need to make sure that it is error-free. You need to validate it. Okay. And that's the motivation behind today's lecture about the validation. That why do we need to have the validation in this case? It makes your life much more easier if you have a validated XML file. If your XML file is very small, it becomes very easy to check it. But if it's huge, okay, then you need to make sure that you have the right schema and you have the right document type definitions to support your XML. Okay. So what we are going to see in today's lecture is different types of XML documents, XML document validation, and then document type description based validations. Okay. And then we can do the validation using the XML schema also, which we will see in the class on the Thursday. Okay. Okay. So I've very quickly spoken about types of XML documents. Now there are basic three types of XML documents depending upon the content and how they are structured. Okay. So we have data-centric XML documents. That means that the XML is only conceptualizing and encapsulating the data elements that we have defined. Okay. Then we could have the narrative XML files, in which we will have the constant text, the formatting elements. We could have part of these HTML tags used in this document, in the XML file, that we want to display or we would like to create. Okay. And then we can have a mixture of HTML and XML tags and the constant text. Okay. And then we will see some of these validation services, how we can validate the XML document. And then we will jump into the document type definition, how we can create the definition of each of the elements that are used in this. Okay. So as we have styling sheet declaration into the XML file, we will have a separate document called DTD, which is the document type definition, and that will describe the structuring elements which will be used in this document. Okay. That means that if we have used user-defined elements, the browser does not know the meaning of those user-defined elements. Okay. In order to help aid the browser validate this document, we will create this document type definition. So this document type definition is used by the browsers to validate against your XML file that the elements you have used in the XML file conforms to this document type definitions or not. Okay. If it does not conform to the definitions which are defined here, you cannot use those elements here. So your browser will be able to understand that this XML file is not correct. Okay. And similarly, as we have shown that we use in the XML file the reference to this XSL file, we will also have the reference of this DTT file in our XML file also. So that means once you execute your XML file, it knows what styling to use and it knows what are the definitions of the elements that we are using in this document. So we have different types of XML documents, data-centric documents, in that elements contains either text or elements, not a combination of both. Okay. As we said that the purpose of XML file is to separate out the data from the rest of the application. So we can create our application in a manner as we are trained to, and then we can call the data elements from this, so we can access the data, and if you want to have the data updated, we can expand the XML file as much as we would like without recoding the application layer. Okay. So our application layer is separate from the data layer. Okay. So we have regular structures, that means we have seen that we have user defined structures. If you remember the nutrition file, we have the nutrition as the root node element, and then we have the first child element, which is the daily value or daily nutritions, and then we have further child elements which were the food elements. Okay. That means that we only have separated out all the data in a nicely structured user-defined data elements. Okay. So the file only contains the data elements. That means that this is the data-centric XML file. It does not contain any other constant text information. Okay. And then we have narrative documents in which you are describing something as part of the output file. Okay. If you remember the examples from the previous lecture, we introduced this styling sheet, we applied the styling on this XML file, and we were writing some lines of HTML code in that. Okay. So here you saw that we have the user defined elements, also we have the HTML tags, and in that HTML tags we use the title, the body, and the other HTML information. Okay. Why we needed to have that HTML? Because we wanted to format the XML file into a browser and to display whatever data we have in a nicely formatted manner. Okay. And if you remember that in the HTML we could use the body tags to display whatever we would like in the body of the browser. Okay. So in that case, our XML file and the XML code scripts were embedded into the body tags of this XML file. Okay. That means that we are narrating the XML file and describing the data using the narrations that we have used here. So we were not only displaying the data as a tree structure, but we were narrating it. So if you remember, we saw one application where we were saying that the nutrition file contains 10 types of food elements, right? So we have this narration, and the value 10 that we calculated was from this data file. Okay. So in that case, we could have mixed type of contents. We could have HTML tags. We could have user-defined XML tags. We could have irregular structures. You saw that the structure was not consistent in that case. Okay. We have passage elements, we have break lines, we have title, we have body, we have HTML tags. So the structure was not consistent as we saw in the simple XML file, the nutrition file. because in the nutrition file we do not have any HTML tags specified. So we have a consistent structure, consistent hierarchy in that document. But in the narrative documents, we could have interspersed comments, interspersed elements. We could have HTML tags and the XML tags displayed in the document. And then by combining these, we can create the RSS feeds, okay, or different types of instructions that could be used to display the news elements, the content elements, or different kinds of activities from the website to the user devices. Okay, so in this case we have in between documents something like the RSS. Now we would like to validate whatever we are doing here, because if we do not have a validated XML file, the browser will not be able to display it, and you will not be able to debug your XML very easily if it gets very long. Okay. So in order to avoid that condition, you would like to have your XML file validated before you execute it. Okay. So validation is a mechanism for specifying and detecting structural errors in an XML document. And what might be the structural errors in the XML document? Can you name a few? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. And? So we could have, if you remember this well-formed XML document, so we saw that in the well-formed XML documents, we need to make sure that we explicitly close all these documents. We should not have different case elements. So if we have a lowercase element, it should be closed as a lowercase element. We should have the starting elements matching those closing elements. Okay. We could have self-closing elements. That works, but then those self-closing elements should not contain any text in between them. Okay, and there are quite many others. So as long as you conform to the well-formed XML, you will make sure that your XML is validated in one way or the other. Okay, but that is the structural level validation. What about the contextual level validation? Okay. For example, I created this nutrition file. I know what are the elements. So as long as I am expanding the XML file, I can easily pick the elements that are in the XML file and I can further extend more elements. For example, if I know how the XML file looks like for this nutrition document, I can keep adding the food elements. Okay. But if I give this XML file as it is to some other colleague of mine and ask him to start adding something, considering he is an expert in the XML, okay, he knows how to avoid the structural errors, and if he starts copying and pasting and creating more food elements, the file will work as long as it conforms to the specifications. But for example, if in my XML document I create an additional daily value child, okay, the XML file is correct because the nutrition can have a daily value child, okay, but how many it can have, this is not specified anywhere in this document. And being the owner of this document, I know that we cannot have more than one child element, which is the daily value in that case. And we could have as many as food elements as we want. So even though then the structure might be correct, so as long as the structure might be correct in that case, but still there might be contextual errors in the XML file that your simple validators might not be able to pick until or unless they have the definition which defines how many childs can a parent have, what could be their sequence, which element should appear first and which elements should appear afterwards. Okay, and that's what all has to be defined somewhere. Okay, if I do not have this DTD, that means that I have defined everything in my mind. So either I have to tell it to the person who is further developing on this XML file, or I had to be written somewhere so he could understand and then use this as the specification document to extend this document. Okay, so this document acts same as like the template which governs the content in the XML file. Okay, that means that we can define the elements data types. For example, if we have an element here which is table, okay, and if we close that element, we said that the table could be an HTML tag or it could be a furniture as a user defined tag. So the definition has to be defined in this document to explicitly tell what do we mean by this, and what further childs and elements can this table have. Okay, whether it can have tr and td as the table row and table data elements from the HTML tags, or it could have the width, the length, the color and the height from the properties of this table as a user defined data types. So this has to be defined over here. Okay, and we will see how we can define it. So that means that we are validating our XML file through this process. Okay, so we can validate, declare a valid structure in a schema using this document type definition, or we could have an XML schema. So we can also define in this XML document the schema that validates the elements within itself. Okay, or we can use a validating parser. A validating parser, you will find many of them implemented freely on the web browsers. So you could use any of these browsers validation to validate your XML file. Okay, if you remember from your obligatory 5 assignment, okay, you have the first part in which you have to find the errors. That means that in one way or the other, you are acting as a validator to validate that XML file which contains those errors. Okay, so some of you might have already done it by looking at if it's not a well-formed XML or not. Okay, and some of them might have already used the validators, the online validators, to check where the errors are in the file to find an easy way out, right? But it's up to you how to use it. Okay, so you could use either your own validator to validate your document, checking if it's a well-formed document or not, or you can use the already user-defined general purpose validators on the websites. So why validation? We'll see that we will have less application code required. Okay, we could have potentially fewer bugs in the application. It becomes very easy to debug once your application becomes really, really, really large. Okay, and if you have the document type definition, it becomes very easy to check what you are permitted to do in this XML file. And schema functions as a documentation. So if I have this document type definition, and if I have this file which contains the records of 50 students, and I have to add the records of other three classes, which contains, let's say, 150 more students, and I do not have a time, I can give this file to my colleague and I can ask him to look at this document type definition and populate this XML file. So this schema will act as the documentation for the programmer, coder, analyst, whoever who is working on that file. So using this, they can expand this file without ensuring that it does not contains any errors, it conforms to this document, so without making any structural errors in this case. Okay. So validation, we have already seen that we can use the validating parsers in the application code. You can also write the parsers to validate in your application wherever you are loading your XML file. Okay. So if you are creating a web page that makes use of this XML file to display the data, for example, it's the student record, and in your browser, every time you display, you do not want the page to be displayed as a deformatted page or as some sort of corrupted page. You will need to make sure that the data which you are loading is validated before you display it to your browsers. So either you need to validate it using some of the predefined validators, you can write your own code in your HTML tags, in your HTML browsers, HTML pages, okay, to check if your XML file that we are going to load and display is pre-validated. Or you can use XML editors. Okay. I usually work with the TextStrangler or Notepad to write this HTML file or XML file, so normally I do not have the privilege to validate the documents by the interface or the IDE that I'm using. Okay. But if you are using any of these XML editors that provides you the validation, so they will validate your document at the runtime also. Okay. Or as we have already talked about, you can go to these any of online validation services. You can browse your XML file from your computers onto these websites and they can validate your XML file. If your XML file has general tags, user defined tags, if it has tags something like table, which could create problems for the compilers, then you need to have the document type description file also uploaded to these validators, such as XML validation, or you have validators from the W3 school website, or you could find many free validators to check the structure of your XML file. Okay. The last time I checked XML validation, it was not working properly, so you could test different validators also. And then we could have special purpose validators also, such as for the HTML, for the SMIL, or for the mathematic markup language. Since these are all different languages which are based on the XML, so you need to use appropriate validators that can not only validate simple XML files, but the XML applications which are using the XML as their core elements. Okay, next we will see validating using document type definitions. We have already discussed quite a lot about this. But what we need in this case, we have already said that we have a document type definition file having the same name as the root element's name. Okay. So for example, if we have this document file and if we are creating this document file for this nutrition file, that means that the name of this document file should match the root element of the XML file, right? So here we have the XML. Whatever the first root element of that XML file is, should be the element's name as the DTD file. Okay. defining the valid structure and content. So what it does is basically it defines the data types of all the elements, what kind of values those elements can contains, what kind of text those elements can have, and what kind of Boolean values can those elements represents. Okay, and then we could use also selection elements. For example, if we have an element month, and in that month we could have attribute or values as January, February till December, so we could have only one value selected for that element. Okay, and that should be defined in this document type definition. Okay, you could also think in terms of as the drop down list. Okay, for example, if you have an element currency, and you can display what kind of currencies does this document accepts, and you list all those currencies over here. So if it's only 10 different currencies, okay, then those should be specified. If someone tries to give the currency which is not acceptable to this document, it will not pick, it will give an error. Okay, so that means you can define the constraints here for this document. So a document type definition in the XML file, we need to declare and reference to this document type definition here, as we have been doing for this XSL file. Okay. And there are two ways of doing it. The first one is to use the public IDs. Okay. You will use the public identifier here as a reference to refer to this document if you are using an XML schema which belongs to some application, okay, and which is not a user-defined XML schema. Okay, for example, here we see that we have document type and SVG. Does anyone remembers what this SVG stands for? Sport vector graphics, right? And we saw that this is an XML-based graphic representation application. Using this SVG, we can create two-dimensional graphics in our browsers, such as the rectangle, okay, circle, polygons, lines, colorings. We can fill these objects with different colors. Okay, so these are all defined in this SVG. That means if you would like to use its method, such as the rectangle, we need to know what are the attributes that the rectangle can accept. And those should be defined in the document type definition in this SVG file. Okay. And since this is a publicly available interface, so we are referring it using its reference to its location where it is placed on the server. So that means that now when we are using the SVG, and if we want to draw something in our document, we could use the rectangle method. Okay, and we can check what are the different parameters does this rectangle takes by looking at the DTD document of the SVG. And we can know that, okay, rectangle accepts four parameters, x1, x2, y1, and y2. What could be the values that we can also check? Okay. If it has gradient fill function, we can check that from this. But if you write gradient fill 1, it's though a user data defined, it might not give you structural errors in your XML. But once you render your XML file, it will not display the rectangle. Even though your code is correct, well-formed document, but it does not conform to the SVG functions. That's why we need to have that. Okay. Or we could have a system uniform resource identifiers. URI stands for uniform resource identifiers. It acts as the same as your directory browsing in your computers. the way you browse in your directories. Okay? So you can give the path from your local systems of the document type definition, such as over here. So we have document type nutrition. Okay? We are picking it from the system. It's not public. That's your user defined document type definition. And that's the definitions file reference. Okay. Now we can create the simple definitions in the document file looking like this. Okay. So here we see that we have simple type elements contains text only. This is a past character data. That means that even if we have entity references in this total fact, the value of that reference will be displayed, not the reference as it is will be displayed. Okay. Do you remember the entity references? All looking for the break. Okay. Anyone, do you remember the entity references? No? We have talked about that we could use some special characters in the XML file, similar as we have been using in the HTML file, such as less than sign, greater than sign, and ampere sign. Okay? These are all the entities. And we said that if we write these entities as the parse character data, your XML file is not well-formed XML file. That means that we need to use the reference for this. This is a less than sign, so we have L and T as the entity reference for this. Okay. For this one, we have GT. Okay. So this can all be parsed in these parsed content, parsed character data. Okay. That means that we are defining the element in the document type definition that we can use in our XML file, and it should be of type PC data. It's like we are saying that we have a variable I, and we are defining what kind of value this I could have, whether it could have integer values or it could have float values, or it could have decimal values, or it's a Boolean variable, right? So those are all different data types, and we can define the data types in this. So here we are defining the data types of all these different elements, total fat, saturated fat, cholesterol, carbohydrates, fiber, and proteins as parse character data. That means that whatever the text it could have, it could parse except for these special characters. In the text, we could not use these special characters, but we have to use their entity references. Any questions up till now? No? Okay. So we can take a 15 minutes break and we can start at 12 past 15 according to this clock, and 11 past 15 as per the new time. Okay.